right, it's 93.7 WEEI. Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird, and Ted Johnson. We are going to have in just a moment from Yahoo Sports, Tom Haberstroh. He wrote that great article.
Tom Haberstroh?
Haber.
Oh, Haber.
Yeah, Haberstroh.
Dude, it's just unbelievable, man. No opinions. It was all facts in there. And you guys are twisting the truth, man.
It's, hey, he left out the record when Tatum sat, which was pretty good last year.
He's just giving you just data. Data. That's all he's doing.
The article starts off, and it's really just a great way to start it, because he's talking about, he goes, pop quiz, who is the best player in the NBA from 2011 to 2021?
LeBron James.
And he goes, no, it's not LeBron James. No, 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 no. Steph Curry. No, not Kevin Durant, not James Harden or Draymond Green. And he goes, you're going to want to sit down for this. It was Danny Green.
It was Matt Dellavedova. He said his plus minus was the best.
Well, it's great, because he said, that's right, because nobody won more combined regular season and playoff games from 2012 to 2021. In games that Green played, his teams went 622 to 256. Mm-hmm. And when he goes, all right, which brings us to Jaylen Brown and his viral tweet on Saturday, and he quotes it, nobody has won more combined regular season and playoff games since I entered the league 10 years ago. Right. And he's basically saying, well, that means nothing.
Right.
It means nothing. That is not an individual stat. That is because you are on very good teams. And that's why he compared it to Danny Green.
Right.
Once again, he is so good at some of these arguments. Mm. And he goes, and you know, one by one.
Poor Danny Green.
I mean, even Danny Green would admit that he wasn't the best player of that era. I think you would, you know, we've had Danny Green on before. Yeah, and I brought that up to him, but like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not as good as LeBron. But the on-off splits, he talks about that, about just how much better the team is when he's not on the floor as opposed to when he's on the floor. It's kind of wild when you read it. You got him?
Okay. Surprising, huh?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're very glad to have him on. From Yahoo Sports, Tom Haberstroh, he has written the article that we've been talking about for a lot of the show today, titled, Did the Celtics Give Away Jaylen Brown? Why Analytics Don't See Philly's New Star as Elite of Elite. Tom, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So, Tom, after going through, well, first of all, what kind of response are you getting from this article from Celtics fans?
A lot of it is, thank you for writing this, because it's the only thing getting me through this trade.
I believe it.
Right. It's kind of strange. It's like once he's gone, you know, because nobody here can understand it. I know when it broke yesterday, we're like, Paul George, I can't believe this. You know, you need someone to tell you, well, maybe it's not that bad when you take a look at it. And I have to be honest, you know, I was very upset about the trade, but I read your article, and by the end of it, I mean, you should truly be a lawyer. It is a really good case that you have made that proves that maybe Jaylen's not the guy that we thought he was as Celtics fans.
Well, yeah, I keep seeing that he's a top 10 player, he's a finals MVP, but as we see with this trade return from the Celtics, that they got Paul George's 2 years remaining on his contract and two first round picks, it's clear that the contract that Jaylen Brown has when he's being paid over the next 3 years, $180 million, far outweighs the on-court impact. And you can point to his scoring average and his career-high numbers and the 56 wins that the Celtics won this year and say, hey, that's a top 10 player. But the scoreboard disagrees. When he's on the floor, the Celtics offense isn't as good. Part of that is because he takes more two-pointers than any player in the NBA, but he shoots below average on those two-pointers. He misses more twos than any player in the league on average per game. And a lot of that inefficiency has suffered the Celtics offense. When he's off the floor, suddenly they're shooting better. The ball is moving more. And I think it can be pointed to he's a really high-usage, high-volume guy that soaked up a lot of possessions for the Celtics. But when Peyton Pritchard gets the ball, or Derek White gets more of the opportunities, or you see Jason Tatum in games that JB was not playing over the years, a lot of the guys around Jaylen Brown seem to be playing better. And the stats are what they are. People are saying the analytics. And I'm saying, if you think counting whether Jaylen Brown was playing or not and whether the Celtics won or not is analytics, man, my 6-year-old daughter can do that stuff, right? So
Tom, it's really striking. Like, you had a stat in here. You mentioned, you know, Peyton Pritchard and Derek White, and you like broke down. It says no player in the NBA lowers the points that that his teammates score while on the court with him more than Jaylen Brown. He lops off 4 points per 100 from each of the four teammates that share the court with him. That is astounding.
Well, I mean, when you look at the fact that he is not a playmaker, I say that with recognition that in the playoffs against the Sixers, he had more turnovers than assists. And that has happened quite a bit in Jaylen Brown's career. And that's not what you see from superstars. Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they don't have negative turnover ratios in playoff series. But Jaylen Brown has had 12 of them in his career, which is the same number of times that he's had a positive assist-to-turnover ratio in a playoff series. So think about that. This happens quite a bit, is that he is not a guy that is going to be the engine of your offense when he makes everybody else around him better. And in fact, you see Peyton Pritchard in the 10 games that he did not have to play with Jaylen Brown, he was putting up star numbers, 25 points per game, 7 assists per game, 5 rebounds per game. Peyton Pritchard, 6'1", putting up big-time numbers, and not just in the games that Jaylen Brown didn't play. He seemed to level up when he was in the same game with Jaylen Brown and just getting those opportunities against second units. Of course, you're going to have more efficient outings. But this is, you know, this part of the explanation why Brad Stevens is willing to make the deal that he did is Bill Simmons has the Ewing theory that sometimes stars are dragging down the team, and maybe after that star player leaves, the team suddenly flourishes without that guy. I'm not saying that the Celtics are going to be a 56-win team next year, but I think there is something to it that he isn't bringing the best out of his teammates, and maybe his defensive impact is not the same as his reputation. And it really is hard to reconcile the star accolades of Jaylen Brown and also the fact that with him not in uniform, Celtics are 36-6 over the last three seasons. So that is astounding. And it's not the case with Jason Tatum. Yes, without him this year, the Celtics were the second seed for the majority of the season. But the on-off splits are not nearly as devastating. When you look at that off-court numbers for Jason Tatum, are not nearly as tough as they are when it comes to Jaylen Brown.
Tom, this is a fascinating conversation. It's great to have you on. You said that you tweeted out that you think this might be one of the bigger trades that where it's a lose-lose scenario. Okay, just your thoughts on why this might be a bad trade, not only for the Celtics, but also for the Sixers.
Well, the Sixers, of course, when you get a guy like Jaylen Brown, you're going to get a high usage, just a tough, bruising, downhill guy. But you're not going to get a good shooter. He is a below average 3-point shooter, not a guy that you can kick out to and on those pull-ups. He's not a spacer like you need around Joel Embiid. And Tyrese Maxey is way more efficient. He can also drop 30 a night like Jaylen Brown. He's going to do it on fewer shots and fewer turnovers. And so you add Jaylen Brown to that mix. They don't have really much shooting outside of Tyrese Maxey. And Joel Embiid is going to want tons of touches. Tyrese Maxey deserves tons of touches. And when you insert Jaylen Brown into the equation and the vengeance that he's going to want to have after getting, you know, traded by the Boston Celtics, I just don't see that he is going to be willing to take a backseat to those guys and take a step back in terms of his usage rate. I think he wants to do more. And so I think he's going to go John Wick on everybody next season, including the Boston Celtics. And I don't think he's going to have the same sort of efficiency. And so I think when you look at Jaylen Brown going into the 76ers organization, he's also going to be expecting a 2-year extension. You can logically say that the Celtics were not willing to go deep on an additional 2 years he's eligible for at $70 million per year, which would, guys, they call me an analytics guy, but again, $180 million coming to Jaylen Brown in the next 3 years, guaranteed, and then you have a 2-year extension with $140 million on top of that. That is $320 million that potentially the Sixers are going to be adding to their payroll for Jaylen Brown if they agree to an extension. So I do think that there is potential for them to regret making this trade down the line if he is not willing to take a back seat when necessary to Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is as good of a scoring guard as you'll find in the NBA, and I just wonder if he's going to lose a lot of touches and the offense will suffer at times with Jaylen Brown trying to make a statement about where he is in today's NBA.
All right, we're talking to Tom Haberstroh from Yahoo Sports. This is a really a fascinating article, why analytics don't see Philly's new star as the elite of the elite. So I read it, and as I said, you make a very compelling case. The numbers are great, kind of eye-opening and shocking, to be quite honest. But then, you know, afterwards, you step back and you go, but hang on. This guy was the MVP 2 years ago of the finals, and you know was excellent during that playoff run. On top of that, he did, without Jason Tatum, bring this team to be the two seed on a year that everyone thought they were going to be awful. How do you reconcile the two, the analytics, and then the fact that with our own eyes, we've seen him rise to the occasion when you needed him?
Well, let's also remember that was not a unanimous finals MVP. Okay, he did win the finals MVP, but it was split. Gary Washburn also voted for Jason Tatum, one of the four voters for that finals MVP. So it wasn't like it was a unanimous choice like we see typically in the finals MVP. I will also say that it has been kind of rocky when you look at the overall ledger of Jaylen Brown's playoff career. My brother, big Celtics fan, remembers that 2023 game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat, which he had 8 turnovers and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And at that time, there were a lot of Celtics fans who were not happy with his postseason performance. And then, of course, washed all of that away the next year in 2024 with that pretty sensational playoff run. But still, it wasn't unanimous that Jason Tatum wasn't the finals MVP that year, splitting the vote 7-4. And I will also say, look, man, it's a tough sport to analyze. 56 wins from a team that lost Jason Tatum for the majority of the year. It's hard to argue that Jaylen Brown wasn't a big help to the Celtics. But there's another side to this story, is that the Celtics continually, year after year, have won without Jaylen Brown. And obviously Brad Stevens is here saying, we believe that we can still be a title contender without Jaylen Brown, despite all of his accolades over the years. Remember, everyone in the NBA, the executives, voted Brad Stevens as the executive of the year this year. And that is an executive award, not a media award. And so the media gave Jaylen Brown second team All-NBA, just one vote away from, or I guess Cade Cunningham had an exemption, or else Jaylen Brown would have been a first team All-NBA. But that's media. The executives, clearly with this return with the Philadelphia 76ers, it was not as frothy of a return as many expected in the media, but I think there is a disconnect between what the media thinks of Jaylen Brown and also what the executives in the market around the league. Clearly, Brad Stevens decided something happened, something had to have changed in the organization, their value of Jaylen Brown, because I am stunned that he was traded for this return, but given all the numbers, and given all the talk about how many times he's been floated in trades, whether it's Kevin Durant or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kawhi Leonard, what have you, at some point, Brad Stevens and the organization decided to split up their duo. And it is still surprising, even though I think Jaylen Brown is probably more of a top 25 player in my book than a top 10 player. But still, Paul George on that contract, yeah, that's a surprise.
Well, Tom, you got me thinking, and that's a dangerous thing, because I came in being extremely pissed about this, but you're reminding me of those playoff moments, the times he dribbled off his foot, you know, in big time, spots. Yeah, it's a great article, because at least it gives you the tools that if you need something to help you go to sleep at night as a Celtics fan, this might be the thing. It's a good bedtime story to read, Tom, if anything.
Yeah, I'm going to read it to my daughters here, my 9-year-old and my 7-year-old. We'll see what they think of it.
Awesome, Tom. Hey, thanks Tom. So much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks. It is really
what a hit piece.
It is damning.
A hit piece. Oh my God.
No, but it is.
He just trashed the guy for 15 minutes. Then you said he's a top 25 player. What are you saying, dude?
He just used facts. Oh, I mean,
he is a top 25 player.
He gave evidence.
It is damning. Like, it goes and you think, oh, you think that's bad? This is bad. Yeah. Oh, you think that's bad? No, this is bad. And he's right. I mean, the one thing that he does is he breaks down the numbers of everybody around him when he's on the court. Everybody's worse
when he's on the court.
And he compared it to a guy like Jason Tatum.
But we thought they were going to tank the year. We thought they'd be awful. And then they were the two seed, mostly without Tatum. and he won a championship.
And a terrible Eastern Conference.
And he won a championship, and he won MVP of the finals and the conference
with
finals.
The media votes.
Well, and he's a top 25 player, but somehow he's the worst player in the league.
But but you also have to reconcile the times he's been awful in the playoffs,
well,
and he's
course.
Reminding me of that. Yeah. Like, I mean, listen, I think that he was... I was the one who asked him. I was like, with my own two eyes, I saw him like dominate in the playoffs when they won the championship. And this year, you can't write it off. Mm. But then once it came playoff time, I don't know. It is an interesting angle on all this.
Wow.
I mean, really.
Does he work for Brad directly? Or
maybe
the checks go indirectly?
All right, we're going to have Chris Mannix on also as well. And he's got some interesting things to say about what's going on behind the scenes. We are in the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. We'll take your calls next, 617-779-7937. And we're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Oh, man. 93.7 WEEI. It is Rich Shurtley, Ken Lair. Huh. Ted Johnson.
Tom Spitfire, man.
And our last guest from Yahoo Sports wrote an article that was called, Did the Celtics Give Away Jaylen Brown? Why Analytics Don't See Philly's New Star as Elite as the Elite of Elite. And it just is one example after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next.
It is
why
like
Jaylen Brown is the most overpaid player in the NBA. Once again, this is his opinion, not mine, but it is a really well-written article, and it's tough to read it.
It's Sonny Corleone at the toll booth in The Godfather.
Someone just said, what a hit job. I'm Sicilian. If I wanted someone to take it out, he just did it. And you know, people are saying that it's a hit job, but then there's some people like John in the car on line three who wants to say something. John, what's up, man?
It just goes to show you one thing, and Rich, believe me, I'm not an NBA fan by trade. And the main reason why I can't stand the sport is because there's always one guy that's got to be the guy, and you can't have another guy that could potentially be just as good to help the cause because they start talking about ball touches and is there enough for this guy and enough for that guy. Jaylen Brown is not worthy of $320 million if he's a top 25 player. Period. End of paragraph. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because what just happened here, this Chisholm move makes Donnie Sweeney's horrible draft picks with Senishin and Zaboral and DeBrusk look like he drafted Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, and Bobby Orr because they are cutting money left, right, and center. And if you are, in fact, a Celtics fan, which, again, I am not, but if you are and you want to see this team spend money and spend it on good players and try to win, it ain't happening anymore because they're a venture capitalist group and all they're caring about is luxury taxes and bottom line dollars. And just like the Red Sox, as long as you fill the stadium up, and by the way, schmuck, good luck getting a stadium if you're going to start dumping every piece of talent you got. This team is in the middle of nowhere. They are in a morass of negativity, to quote the old coach. And in closing, I told you I'd do this, so I will. Jaren Duran, you suck.
Poor Jaren.
John brought it, man.
All right, John.
Quick question. Celtics currently a good team?
Let me ask you a better question.
Yes.
Who's going to win more games this season, the Celtics or the Sixers?
Sixers.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to say the Celtics.
I think the Celtics are still
Paul
a better
George
team.
Is going to play 30 games. He will not
be
healthy.
Let's go, Paul George!
It's okay. We only need him for 30 games. We're good. We got PP.
Okay.
Another thing that he said that I agree with, because he said that the trade is a lose-lose situation.
That's what Tom said.
And it's such a great explanation. Jalen's going to go over there, and you're right. He's going to want to be the man.
Show everybody.
He's going to want to, like, hey, no I'm way. Worth every dollar. Yeah, he's going to go scorched earth, and Maxie's there.
That's
you
right.
can't take
both.
Edgecombe, Maxie, Embiid. There's he's gone from being the number two to a number three, and that's going to piss him off.
That Simmons was there, didn't work out. They had Harden there that didn't work out. PG was there, didn't work out. There's too many people that want theirs there.
Where should I go? One or two? What are we doing? Let's go, David, in line two. What's up, David? How you doing, buddy?
So, guys, I've been listening all day, and here's what I have to say. So, Tom, that you guys had on, he's wrong. The guy who was just on, John, he's wrong. The Celtics were a good team. Jaylen Brown is a top 10 player. I know Mako this morning had a different opinion that was questionable. Here's the thing that I have to ask everyone. Every star app is overpaid regardless. Not just Jaylen Brown. Yes, he was overpaid. Everybody is. My thing is this. Would the Celtics have won the championship in 2024 if Jaylen wasn't there? No, they would have not. And the proof is in the pudding because he was the MVP. Why is that? Because he was a better player. Regardless of analytics and everything else everybody's throwing out there, this team is screwed without him. And yes, he's going to win more games. The Sixers will win more games. The Sixers will win another championship, or a championship, before the Celtics win another one.
Well, David, I mean, David, listen, I like your call, but I also think that the 76ers are a loser franchise, mm-hmm. and they find a way to shoot themselves in the foot, and there's enough attitude on that team and enough like strong personalities that there's a lot of potential for them to implode. I think Maxey might be the only one there that I can look at and go, all right, dude's got a good head on his shoulders.
No, Edgecombe's good. I mean, they have some good players. They did lose a few, but they added Anfernee Simons today. They have a good starting five, if healthy, which I think they got a chance to be healthy. Now the Jalen's going to play every game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I think Tom's point was excellent. Jalen's going to be trying to prove something. And
yeah.
You can just see there being tension, you know, in the games. Who's the guy?
Even in year one when everything's good?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think year one they'll be fine. I could see them imploding next year. I'll grant you that.
I don't know how you can say with such definitive kind of opinions that this team's lost without Jaylen Brown when we got 4 years of data that tells you when Jaylen Brown's not playing, they're a better basketball team.
I mean, it is, as I said, these numbers are ridiculous. They really are, because they're not like, he said it best, these aren't analytics, it's wins and losses.
Yeah,
this is just straight up wins and losses. Well, all right. Well, Chris Mannix, he's got a lot of inside information. A lot of the stuff you're hearing about this negotiation is coming from Mannix himself, and we are going to have him next right after this.
If you expect me to have any idea of why the hell we would do something like this, I have nothing for you. I can sit here and say, obviously, Brad Stevens has done a great job of building a team. They won a championship. He did a great job of building that squad. And listen, last year, they were supposed to lose, and they won 56 games. A lot of that had to do with Jaylen Brown.
That's our buddy Brian Scalabrine right there. It's 93.7 WEEI. Rich Certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you know, there's a lot of inside information coming out about this trade and the things that were going on and what led to it. And a lot of it came from our next guest. Chris Mannix has been all over this story. And to be quite honest, we're all sitting here still trying to make sense out of it. We just had on Tom Haberstroh from Yahoo Sports.
Haberstroh, who
used analytics to try to prove that Jaylen Brown isn't that good of a player in the first place, how he makes everyone in the court worse. But then there's people like me who watch some of these games with my eyes, and I watched him in the finals, and I watched him this past season, and I go, well, that doesn't make any sense. But Chris Mannix has been great because he has been on top of the story the entire time. Chris, first of all, thanks for joining us. And when you heard about this trade, what was your first reaction?
I mean, probably like everybody else, just shocked at how little they got back in return. 10 years ago, this would have been an explicable trade back when Paul George was a borderline superstar. But Paul George, at 36 years old, having played 78 games in two seasons, having arguably the worst contract in the NBA, and the sweetener only being a couple of first round picks that maybe could turn into good ones down the line. Outside of the deal that Dallas made for Luka Doncic, this is the most inexplicable trade that I can recall covering.
Can I ask you, what do you think the main reason was that Brad Stevens would make that trade for that small amount of return?
I think that fundamentally they did believe that they could no longer compete for championships with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum as their 1-2 combination. I think they do believe that. I also believe that there is a level of toxicity that the relationship between Jaylen Brown and the Celtics had reached that in their minds made it untenable. Because if you believe you've gone as far as you can with Jaylen Brown, you try to sell high, right? Charlotte, in a sort of a roundabout example, just kind of did this with LaMelo Ball. They had the best season they've had in years. LaMelo Ball was more durable than he's been in years. Charlotte sold high. They got probably max value for LaMelo Ball. If the Celtics had gone out and done a Giannis deal or even done an Evan Mobley deal, that would be explainable. That would be either selling high on Jaylen Brown coming off the best year of his professional career or making an arguable sale. This is not that. This is as weak a return as you can expect to get for a player of this caliber. A 29-year-old, in my opinion, borderline superstar who's under contract for 3 more years, who just led your team to a 56-win season. This, I don't understand. I mean, I do understand because I think I know some of the thinking that they have internally. But even saying all that, you have to walk away if this is the best offer. Like this, you have to know when to say no in a situation like this. Just like Dallas should have walked away, gone to bed, taken a vacation, done anything but do the Luka Doncic deal the way they did. The Celtics, in my opinion, should have done the same thing.
Hey, Chris, to what extent is this ownership driven? Have you heard some of the private equity chatter that's been going on in the last 24 hours? And do you had you heard anything like Bill Simmons is reporting that they wouldn't go a third year on a Giannis extension, that sort of thing?
I have not heard the Giannis extension stuff. I can understand a level of concern about extending Giannis too deep into the contract. Because I think I've probably said this to you guys before. I know I've written it. I have real concerns about how Giannis is going to age. Physically, he's kind of a wreck right now, at least his lower body. He does not have a game that has matured as he's gotten older. He has, in fact, become more of an inside the three-point line player as he's gotten a little bit older. So I can understand a possible reason for wanting to not go too deep on an extension for Giannis and be paying a premium for a guy that might be broken down or a lesser player in his mid-30s. I do not believe this was a financial decision. I don't believe that. In part, I mean, I've been hearing this from people that I trust, that money is not a factor right now with this team. And people can point to what they did last year. They did absolutely the right thing last year. You were not a contending team with Tatum out. There are lots of reasons to get under the tax aprons. There are lots of reasons to try to reset the clock, basketball reasons to try to do that. Last summer, they did exactly the right thing and had nothing to do with being cheap. I don't believe this has anything to do with being cheap based on what I'm hearing from people I trust and the fact that they just took on one of the most dog bleep contracts that exists in the NBA today. In Paul George. That is not the act of an ownership group that is trying to save money on a Jaylen Brown deal.
Chris, how much validity do you put into, you know, maybe the analytics? You know, JB's not rating well on the metrics and the analytics. How much stock do you put into that being the reason the Celtics moved on from him? And then also that maybe that is why there wasn't maybe as a robust kind of interest in JB is because all these teams use analytics. And that's the reason why he didn't maybe have more interest in a trade value.
I don't believe that JB's analytics played a huge factor in his diminished trade value. To the analytics folks out there, go away on this one. Like, go back to bed. I mean, you can sit there and make the case statistically that Jaylen Brown is – that the Celtics play better in spurts without Jaylen Brown, that the on-off numbers reflect that they're a better team without Jaylen Brown. Shut up. Just shut up and look up at the rafters at banner number 18 and tell me you get that 2 years ago with multiple players that are not named Jaylen Brown.
Well, then why was the value so low then? Like that, now, that is interesting. Then why was the value low?
I'm getting to that.
He's winding up.
I think I'm more like analytics say that the Celtics are better without Jaylen Brown. Like 56 wins? Yeah, the team sucked in the first round of the playoffs. But they sucked for lots of reasons. Yeah. They sucked because Nikola Vucevic wasn't the player they thought he was going to be. They sucked that Namus Keita was
you know, a good regular season guy, but couldn't be relied on for, you know, 35 plus minutes against Joel Embiid and that front line. That the analytics, I don't care. I don't believe them. Conference Finals MVP, Finals MVP, 56 wins. Those numbers, those accomplishments matter to me more. I think that the interest was diminished for a couple of reasons. I don't think Jalen does himself a lot of favors with the social media stuff. I think there are teams out there, and I know this, that are teams out there that looked at him and saw a great player, but saw one that may not be happy in a certain role. Like, if he's not happy in this role playing opposite Jason Tatum, will he be happy in a role opposite my other star? Will he be satisfied with the role that we're going to put him in? Does he want a contract extension that's going to make – we have to tie him to the team long-term that will basically make him untradeable? Now, Philadelphia, they don't really give a damn. They just got off Paul George. They just got off that contract.
Right.
They made a mistake 2 years ago. I mean, it was understandable at the time. They made a mistake, but now they're off that contract. But across the league, I think teams weren't willing to go all in because they weren't that sure. I also think that doing a deal like a drunken sailor where you're cutting the deal in early July when training camp has 3 months to go also puts you in a disadvantageous position, because why not wait this out? Like, teams, you're not going to come lock, stock, and barrel at the Celtics when you kind of know there isn't a robust market for Jaylen Brown. Like, people came after Giannis because everybody knew there were multiple teams that were clamoring for him. And all it takes is two, and there were. Like, right now, the market was soft for Jaylen Brown. Would it have been soft 3 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now, 12 weeks from now? I don't know. But I don't think this deal was going anywhere. I don't think Paul George was all of a sudden going to get snapped up by a contender and somebody's going to take that contract off Philadelphia's books. I think Philadelphia would have done this deal July 1st, August 1st, September 1st, October 1st. Mm-hmm. I think the Celtics made a mistake in doing this deal as quickly as they did. That I think also contributed to the kind of offers they were getting for Jaylen Brown.
Well, Chris, you mentioned that there was a level of toxicity between Jaylen Brown and the Celtics. What kind of examples can you have of that? Or what do you mean by that?
I don't think it certainly wasn't a blow up in the locker room or these guys. I think Evan Turner said this directly to me on my podcast today. He said, and Ted, maybe you can kind of relate to this, but like he said this to me, he said, the only times locker rooms get mixed around is because of women. If there are women involved, that's when you get a beef with a girl over a girl. That's when things become thorny between teammates in locker rooms. There wasn't any such thing between the Celtics and between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. It's just that Jaylen Brown, in some ways justifiably, has always believed that he's kind of a peer of Jason Tatum, that he wanted more, that he wanted to be looked at and treated the same way as Jason Tatum. And I think that I want to be careful. I don't think he's a selfish player, but I think the feeling maybe that he wanted too much individual stuff and wasn't about the team as much as he needed to be, I think that may have crept into the minds of some people in Boston that made them believe that this just wasn't going to get any better. Like, they have come as far as they have come. They have accomplished as much as they had accomplished with this guy, and there was no way they were going to be able to make it work long term.
Well, Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, this is going
good
to be
stuff,
an interesting. Next season, I'm watching both of these teams, and yeah, we were just having a discussion as to what team we think is going to end up being better. Like, do you think the Celtics or the Sixers? And my whole thing is that I just think that
come on. The Sixers measurably better.
But can you see? I'm sorry, Chris, your phone's kind of breaking up a little bit. But the one thing is, though, I think that there's such potential for chaos with the Sixers, with the strong personalities there, and with Jalen wanting to be the man, but Maxey's already there, and Embiid's there, and it's the Sixers too. So they always find a way to shoot themselves in the foot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, sure, there's definitely that potential. You have these kind of personalities. But the Sixers were also like maybe 6 months away from a Tyrese Maxey trade request. Like you never know how this works out famously right now for the 76ers. And now, and look, this is not as important, but trading him to a division rival is like, wow.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
He's coming into the Garden twice a year and playing the Celtics in Philadelphia two more times. And he is going to be going for 50 and trying to hold Jason Tatum to 10. Like every single time they play. Now, look, I expect Jason Tatum to be phenomenal next year. I expect him to accept the challenge, step up and play well. And maybe in a world, and I think the Celtics believe this, like that Baylor Shireman takes a step forward, Hugo Gonzalez takes a step forward, that they use these picks. That's the other part of this. Like, is there another domino to drop here? Like, are they going to package these draft picks to go try to get a Trey Murphy, someone they've coveted for some time down in New Orleans? I wrote about that this week.
Yeah.
If they do that, does that soften the blow a little bit? Maybe. I still wouldn't have done it, guys.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't have given up a guy that you won a championship with 2 years ago.
I know. It's once again, we're all just trying to wrap our heads around it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. But Chris Mannix, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it. The stuff you've been writing and the way you've been covering this has been very, I mean, it's as I said, we're getting a lot of our information from you and your reports. So we appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for coming on.
You got it, guys.
All right.
See you, man.
It sinks that his phone was cutting off a little bit there at the end, but when he was talking about stuff,
we got a Trey Murphy in there at the end.
A little Trey Murphy for you, but I mean, the fact that, you know, they talked about the toxicity, and that was his term, between Jaylen Brown and the Celtics, and most of it came from which one was the man, who was the alpha, all that stuff I gave you guys crap for about, them, you know, Johnson measuring contest, who's the big dog in the locker room.
Right.
Sounds like you guys are right.
Apology
right.
accepted. And Ted, I quoted him, go away, go back to bed, shut up, look up at the Raptors.
Shut up.
How about that?
Told me to shut up.
And you guys are close.
Yeah, that was my guy right there. Yeah, I hope he wasn't listening. I hope he's not shooting that at me, man. It felt personal, though.
Yeah, last person said that to you, you cracked his helmet in half.
Damn right.
That's
right.
617-779-7937. We'll be right back. It is 937 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted, broadcasting from the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. The only thing that's warming my heart right now about this awful, awful trade is the fact that it could really implode in Philadelphia. Even Chris Mannix, who was like at first like, no way. And then when I gave my explanation as to why, where you have all of these, you know, all of these people who are alphas. You know, you've got Joel Embiid, obviously, is, you know, the main alpha. But then Maxey, you know, he's got to feel like this is his city.
And he hasn't gotten his big, big contract yet, has he? So he's still,
Who's that?
Maxey?
Maxey?
I feel like he's still, like, maybe trying to prove himself.
If he hasn't, it's coming. Like, it's about time. I actually don't know. That's a good question.
He signed 5 years, $204 million.
Okay, he got it.
No matter
that. But Maxey's a guy that city loves. Like, they love Tyrese Maxey. So here comes Jaylen Brown, and, you know, our previous guest was exactly right. He's going to come in there, and he's going to want to show the world, look what you gave up on, Boston Celtics.
That's right.
I am the man.
Created a monster.
Yeah. Well, he even said that. That's right. His words. Yeah. Exactly, Ted. Exactly. And so he's going to get over there. So you've got, you know, Joel Embiid, alpha number one, Tyrese Maxey, alpha number two, and then you've got Jaylen Brown trying to be Jaylen Brown, and it's the Sixers. There's just such potential that this could all implode.
Boy, you're right about that.
It's the one thing that kind of keeps me warm at night because after this trade is done, is that it as much as it sucks that this, such a great player went to a division rival, man, it really could go backwards on him, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But Tyrese Maxey, we've seen him for so many years. He's gone in so many big trades. Like, every trade he's in is a huge one. Does he have 1 year left, like, where he's going to be suddenly Fountain of Youth Paul George, and he'll be good, and he and Tatum will get along? And, I mean, I guess there's a shot.
I mean, I'm looking at a minute and a half worth of highlights of Paul George locking down Jaylen Brown in the playoffs this past year.
Right,
so,
maybe.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I guess he'll probably be pissed that the Sixers traded him, right, that they don't think he's any good. So maybe he'll have a chip on his shoulder.
Maybe,
I'm just trying to come up with some kind of
He's excited he gets to play with his boy JT, you know?
And I did like the Mitchell Robinson signing. I got to say that.
I like it, too.
The day before, it was like, okay, they're spending some money.
It's grit. I just like his grit.
He's a bit player, but he's an important guy.
I liked a lot better when I knew that Mitchell Robinson wanted to play here, but apparently he does not.
It's a second choice.
I think you're reading it. Yeah, it's a second choice.
It's a second choice.
Okay, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, so, you know, Mitchell Robinson, apparently doesn't want to be here. On Instagram, OG Anunoby, he posted a crying emoji under this report that Mitchell was traded, and Mitchell himself responded, quote, "I tried, brother. I didn't want this to happen. Hopefully the truth comes out at some point."
He knows that. Does he know Twitter? That goes out on for everyone to see what he's saying. Right?
Everyone can see this.
He ain't taking no hometown discount is what he meant.
And that's what led me to the observation that Mitchell Robinson's gets traded and his teammates are all posting about how sad they are that he's gone. And where's Jason Tatum right now? As I said, they're staying out of all the drama for the past couple of months. And then when your teammate of almost 10 years just got traded, you're not saying anything? That's a little weird to me. It made me think, all right, everybody else is doing this for Mitchell Robinson, all of his teammates, and your guy leaves and you're not saying anything.
Do you think Tatum will, so Monday they can announce it officially, and then Brad will talk at some point, or he'll have to, probably at the Summer League. Will Tatum have something to say then?
He has to. He will look so bad if he doesn't. Now, will it be sincere? And I think the fact that he hasn't spoken already speaks volumes. But will he do it? He absolutely has
to. I'm thinking he won't. I don't know.
Don't even say a word.
I'm thinking he will let sleeping dogs lie. That's what I think. Yeah. I don't think he'll say anything until he has to a press conference.
You know why he won't, Teddy? Because he's too clean of a guy. He's too mainstream. Yep. He's too PR savvy, that type of stuff. Well, whereas Jaylen Brown probably would have done
that. I love we call PR savvy guys the guys that don't talk at all to the media.
Because that's being PR savvy.
Yeah. Nothing nice to say.
Right. They can't use anything against you if you don't say anything.
That's right.
You know?
So true, man.
So
I'm so confused,
you're a
though,
genius
today.
Till you open your
Ted
mouth.
Loves the nerds today. He hates Jaylen Brown so much. He's at war with Mannix.
Unbelievable, man.
What a day.
Just unbelievable. I just, you know what? I'm a slave to the facts and the data. It was overwhelming evidence that this is maybe a better move than people realize. So I don't know. I just want to read the numbers, and the numbers don't lie, man.
It's going to be wild to, you know, we're going to get to see Jason Tatum. We're going to let him cook, you know.
That's right.
Peyton Pritchard, let him cook.
Now that
Jaylen Brown is not around, and according to all these statistics, each one of the players was worse when Jaylen Brown was on the court, which is astounding to me.
Do you think it's people are more upset that what we got in return for Jaylen Brown?
Yes. That's me.
Then Jaylen Brown being traded.
So you could move on from Jaylen Brown. There's a lot of people for good basketball reasons to say, you know, yeah, right.
If we got Giannis instead of, people wouldn't have been as upset, right?
No. It's right. What you got back for Jaylen Brown. This dude should have, he was 6th in voting for MVP this year. Yeah. And the fact that you got, it was embarrassing, an insult what you got back. An insult.
Even the owners of the Sixers are laughing at you.
Yeah, one of the owners of the Sixers was quoted as saying, I was surprised the Celtics did that deal.
And don't forget, for all the reports that we've heard that the Celtics organization and front office was not happy with Jaylen going on his Twitch, well, Paul George, Podcast P with Paul George, has a podcast, very active, loves to do his podcast episodes. Yes.
All right, good.
Yeah, I think that the actual stat was that he had more podcast episodes last season than games played.
There you go.
So, you know, that's what you got to expect. There's nothing inherently wrong about doing your podcast. I've got no problem with
that. Does he have lasers like Jaylen does?
I don't know if he does. I do like every time Stephen A. Smith rips on his podcast studio. He's like, dude, get out of that dungeon. Come to my studio.
You make $300 million.
What's Stephen A. Smith saying about all this? I don't even know. Out of all the people that I thought would have said something.
He says it's a bad trade for the Celtics.
Does he?
Yeah, he thinks the Sixers got the better end of the deal.
But he's from Philly. He's going to talk
about didn't he also say something along the lines of like, we will do that. I want to hear that. All right. 617-779-7937. We aren't going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes.